I would like to call tonight's AAC meeting to order. Before we continue, I would like to share a few reminders to support accessibility and smooth participation. The meeting is being recorded and will be added to the WMATA website at the end of the meeting. Please remain muted unless you are speaking. When speaking, please state your name before you comment. You support our ASL interpreter, participants joining by phone, and those who will be listening to the recording later. For those joining by phone, you may mute or unmute yourself by pressing star six, and raise and lower your hand by pressing star nine. For those joining by computer, please use the microphone icon to mute or unmute, and the raise hand feature, which is located under the reactions menu. When making your comment, speakers are asked to briefly describe themselves the first time they speak. This supports equitable access for all participants. A brief description may include closing and distinguished features. I'll provide a brief description of myself. I'm a Black female wearing a green jacket, glasses, and a head wrap. At this time, I will read the agenda, and please let me know if you can see my screen. I will go ahead and share my screen now for the agenda.
It's not on.
Okay, yeah, I'm trying. For some reason, it's not letting me share my screen.
There, we can see it. There we go.
Okay. All right.
You got it up there now. Good.
Okay. Today is the Monday, May 4th, 2026, and it's 5:30. The meeting will be from 5:30 to 7:30, and the agenda goes as follows: 5:30 p.m. Call to order, AAC roll call, introduction, system-wide accessibility stuff. At 5:30, approval of agenda, prior meeting minutes, and board report. At 5:40, video remote interpreter. Officer DeVoe of Metro Access for MTPD. I'm sorry, I had it differently, but at 6:05, WMATA.com modernization and Metro Pulse updates, Anthony Thomas, Director of Access of Customer Experience. At 6:35, system-wide accessibility update, Maggie Butler, VP System-Wide Accessibility. At 6:45, public comments. At 7 p.m., Bus and Rail Subcommittee report. 7:15, Metro Access Subcommittee report. And at 7:30, adjournment. At this time, I will call a roll call. Please confirm your presence when I state your name. Susan Bowmaster. Darnish Bush. Tino Calabria.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Cole. Rico Dancy. Juan Palmer, Debbie Fisher, Marcy Goldstein,
Present.
thank you. Steve Coffin,
Present.
thank you. Swatananda Kumar, Philippa, I already marked your present. Thank you.
Present.
Okay. Sandy Nuzel,
Present.
Sarah Wright, thank you, Sandy. Sarah Wright.
Sarah will be listening.
Okay.
She's will mark her as present. I think
Okay.
she's.
Doris Ray. Denise Rush. Paul Semaphore. Patrick Sheehan.
Here. Paul's here also. I heard him come
Paul
on.
Semaphore present.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
That
Philip
gives me.
Weintraub.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Philip Weintraub. Phil Posner. Chair Sheehan, this concludes my roll call. I will now turn the floor over to you. Thank you.
Okay, I just wanted to check. I thought we barely made a quorum. Okay, so I will proceed then. So first off, we have approval of the agenda. Any additions or corrections to the agenda? Hearing none, that agenda will be approved as presented. Next, I'll go to the minutes. Prior meeting minutes. Do I have any additions or corrections to the minutes as they were sent out? Hearing none, I will accept the minutes as presented and approved. Next, I'll do the board report. Are there any additions or corrections to the board report?
Hello, Paul Summer for it, none, but as usual, if there's anything that comes out tonight from this meeting, we would like to make a friendly amendment to add it in as needed.
Great. Thank you, Paul. Any other comments? Hearing none, I'll accept the board report as possibly amended, pending what we do tonight. Thank you. Okay. Next, we have Captain DeVoe talking about video remote interpreting. Captain DeVoe, you're up. Thank you for coming. One of our individuals that Rico Dancy, who was very interested in this topic, unfortunately is not here with us tonight. He's not feeling well, but
Oh, I'm sorry
I
to hear
think,
that.
yeah, but I know he will be listening and he will come back. So for the rest of the committee, myself included, welcome. We haven't talked about this subject in years. So anything that we appreciate your presentation tonight, and I'm looking forward to an education. Thank you, sir.
Sure, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for the invite. As I'm reading what I'm supposed to do, I'm in full uniform, captain's uniform for Metro Transit Police Department. Currently, our department, since about June of 2029, has utilized the Purple Video Remote Interpreting Service for those who I guess have hearing impairment or use ASL. My understanding is only two officers, have used the app in an active call, I'm being one of them. And then Officer Ebert, who I do not know if is on tonight, he is the other officer who has used the Purple app, as we call it. It's on all of our departmental phones. So every single officer, every sworn person for our department has access to this app. We do training in MIR, so every other year we kind of go over how to access it, the passwords involved, and how to use it. Speaking with our commander in training, they're going to cover it in this year's MIR as well, just to refresh anybody who hasn't used it in a while. Let me go back to the email, which addressed some questions for us. So obviously we talked about the frequency, only two times that we are understanding for active calls that it has been used. It was very helpful. When I used it, I simply went into the app, turned it on. I was able to get an interpreter who came up on the video screen. I explained to them the situation and then turned the phone to the subject that we were dealing with. I asked my questions, they signed back and forth. And then the interpreter was giving me the audio for me to hear so that we could communicate with the subject that we had in person. I see a question about protocol when the system is not functioning or unavailable. I'm not aware of a time that that has happened, but if that is something that did occur, we would ask any working member who was fluent in ASL, and then if not, go to a local jurisdiction who could assist us as well. And I guess after that, we could go to if the person is able to text We could go to a notes app and then do a joint note going back and forth to try to get past the disability so we could get the information that we might need. We have not looked at other products. We've established a contract with the Purple app, and that is the only one that we're currently using. We spoke about the training. They're taught in the academy how to use it, and then every other year in our mandatory in-services that we would provide. I believe that was all the questions that were proposed on the email that was sent to me, and I'm certainly happy to answer any other questions that anybody else might have.
Thank you, sir. Questions from the committee? Any questions for Captain DeVoe? So I'll just jump in here with, oh, unless there are, Miriam, are there any hands up?
Yes, Philippa has
Oh, I'm
yes, her
sorry.
hand
I jumped the
raised.
gun. Sorry, Philippa.
That's
Go ahead.
okay. I'm curious, is there just someone on standby that's able to provide this service, or is there someone on staff or what? Who's
No,
providing
so
this
the
service?
service is through a company that provides ASL translation via an app on an iPhone. So when we connect to the app, they find whatever available interpreter is
Get
available
bored
through the
back
app.
there.
I'm
Go
sorry.
ahead, Philippa. Philippa. Oh, I think. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
Did I get the whole question? I think I answered the question, yeah. So the app finds someone available, I guess, 24 hours a day who can interpret for us. So the app is our primary that we would use. If the app failed, then we would have to try to find an on-duty officer from our department or metropolitan or whatever jurisdiction we would happen to be in at that time.
Okay, and so what I, my understanding, and having used this a little bit in the government also, this is real time interpreting. You're
Yes,
talking,
absolutely. Yeah,
right?
I'm talking to it.
You're talking to the interpreter. The
Yes.
interpreter is using Purple on the phone to
Right.
and signing to the deaf individual. They're responding back, and she's talking to you.
Correct. So it's almost like
Okay.
FaceTime, I guess
Right.
is a good
Exactly.
way. And we're utilizing that toward the subject that we're dealing with. And then they're providing their interpretation to back to the officer, and the officer is asking the questions, and that's the intermediary.
So, in listening to, I don't like to be speaking for Rico, but I think some of his questions, and this is Patrick, by the way, and you shame me, sir. I am wearing a cowboy sweatshirt. I don't know why I'm doing that, but it's comfortable. And senior male, white male, very comfortable in my sweats and my cowboy sweatshirt, even though I'm a Commanders fan. I think what Rico was trying to say is that maybe some of the officers that he was dealing with were not did not know what the app was all about or how it worked. So it seemed to me not that the app wasn't working properly, but it was they didn't exactly know how to use it. And
Oh, so
that would
maybe,
maybe an education piece.
yeah. So that makes sense. I think we know what it's used for, but maybe the actual way that it works, and that's something that I'll bring up with Captain Brizio,
Okay.
so that when we do cover that, because we haven't started this year's mandatory in-service training, that we can maybe get a video or something from the company. That
The
gives them
showcase.
shows them exactly how it would work. Because I'll admit, when I used it, I wasn't sure what it was going to do. I had a pretty good idea. But I have friends in the deaf community, so I'm very used to the text chain and those type of ways that we communicate, or paper and
Right.
notes. I guess that's a great point because even when I did it, I was like, oh, this is very helpful. I can see how this would be much more efficient for
A real
someone
time, yeah.
in real time. And then it lets them express their emotions and those type of things, which are very important in that community to express not just the words, but the meaning behind the words. So it
Excellent.
does make a lot of sense.
And then Sandy, I'll get to you in a second. I just wanted to point out one thing. I don't know that Rico said that the technology was not available. So I got a sense that it was more of an education thing. Yeah.
Makes
And
perfect sense.
but if it is the technology somehow wasn't available or they were having problems with it, that's a whole different problem. And then I'm sure that can be solved. Sandy, go ahead.
Hi, this is Sandy Neuzel, a senior Caucasian female in comfortable blue t-shirt. So Captain DeVoe, you have a uniform on that makes you look like you might be WMATA police. Is
Correct.
this purple app available to station managers also? Because I'm not sure if a person would know who to go, search out to ask their questions, a deaf person. But if they're in a metro station, they might head to the manager's kiosk.
Right. So that question I do not have an answer to because that's not in my purview, but I will certainly ask. The one difference between us as transit police and I guess station managers, rail operators, train operators, bus operators is we issue every officer a work telephone, a work iPhone. And I don't believe WMATA issues phones to all their employees. So the app is actually part of the portfolio of apps that we put on their work phone. That's a good question because I'm sure that community, as well as other communities, utilize the Metro service and may encounter that. That's certainly something I will bring up with that side of Metro and ask that question. And then I can certainly provide that information back to whoever the meeting is, whoever sent me the email for the meeting. I apologize, but I don't have that in front of me right now.
Excellent question. Go ahead, Sandy.
That would be great because I think that there has been in the past the concept of using a whiteboard at the station manager's kiosk so people can write
Right back
down
and
their
forth.
questions. But if this is something that could be used by station managers also, that could be helpful.
And
Anyway,
I
thank you.
wondered, Sandy, if tablet access might be. We might be able to get purple
Right.
on a tablet. I think most of the kiosks have tablets or whatever available to them.
I'm not sure if they have tablets. I can ask, and I can certainly get this committee in touch with someone on that side of the house who could better, I guess, or like we could find a solution, right? I guess worst case scenario, they could have one of our officers respond,
That's true.
right? So worst case, right? But we want to make sure that Metro is providing accessibility to all. And this is certainly something, we can bring up on that side of the house because I don't want to speak for them. I can only speak for the police side. And we're very unique inside Metro.
Okay, great. I think I got another hand here, Captain. Phil, you're up next.
Also, would bus drivers have it as well? Because
Yeah.
you never know, they ride the bus and they need to, and that's probably the on the bus, they probably will more likely ask their questions to the driver.
Right. So again, the bus operators are not issued a departmental phone. And in fact, the train operators and bus operators are forbidden to have a cellular phone because they're operating a transit vehicle for DOT law. So they're not even allowed to have it in their possession. I think they can have it in a bag, but the bag has to be secured in a locker, like a bag behind the seat. But for them to utilize a phone, even to call 911, they have to secure the bus, step off the bus, and go outside. But I do not believe they're issued phone, like issued something directly from WMATA, which we are, which is how we can put a subscription app directly on our officers' phones.
So
But
we
great
mean
question. But great questions that we should, I can make sure we find somebody who can provide a better answer than I can for them. I don't want to speak on their behalf.
Good. Yeah, those are good questions. So part of the questions that Rico would ask, maybe if he were here, would be, the how good the app is, the application working sufficiently well, so that you're not getting break in the real-time interpreting, and then also availability. Perhaps if there's a if we can increase the availability, like the station kiosk, as Sandy indicated, that might be good.
Right. Yeah. It's
Okay.
something I can definitely ask the right people and then we can get back to the
Very
committee.
good. Okay. Great. Thank you, sir. Are there any more hands?
Chair Sheehan, not at this time.
All right. Well, Captain, if there are no more hands, we will get back with Rico. I'm sure he'll be watching this, and we'll see if we have any more questions, but appreciate you looking into what, what we have already. And
Sure. And if he would like to make direct contact with me, I'm certainly open to that.
perfect.
So we can
That could
take
be,
care of,
yeah,
yeah.
that would, yeah, that'd be great too. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I
Appreciate
do
it.
appreciate it. Thank you
Okay.
so much
Thank
for your
you.
time and the invitation.
Good. Appreciate it.
Have a
Good.
wonderful night.
So we have Metro's modernization update along with Pulse, and it might be nice to get a brief description of what Pulse is all about. Anthony Thomas, Director of Customer Experience. Sir, I don't remember I heard your name earlier, or saw it on the list. Hopefully you're here.
I'm here. Hi, everybody. Nice to see you all again. It is Monday at 5:50, and really happy to introduce my my new colleague Anthony Thomas, who has been shepherding the WMATA.com launch. We have been trying valiantly to launch this and working on this for several years, and just thrilled that we are at this point in time with Anthony leading the charge to get this website launched. He's also joined by another colleague of ours, Claire Blaustein, who is relatively new to the organization as well. She's an experienced user experience designer who has a really great resume as well from both the public and private sectors, and has taught me a lot about what makes a great customer experience on digital applications. So, without further ado, I will hand it over to Anthony, who will explain where we are.
Excellent. Great. Thank you for that. Anthony, welcome.
Thank you so much, Patrick, and thank you, Sarah, for that wonderful introduction. My name is Anthony Thomas, Director of Customer Experience Programs. I am an African-American male with a short beard and shoulder-length locks pulled into a ponytail. I am happy to be here with the AAC to talk about these two really critical projects. I also just wanted to flag that we are also joined by our acting VP, Brian Anderson, of Customer Experience as well. So today we'll be talking about the WMATA.com modernization project, a critical project to replace our public-facing website. We will also give you a preview into the Metro Pulse 2.0 redesign, which we'll be launching at the end of this month. And then, of course, we will save time for questions that the group has at the beginning or at the end of the presentation. So first, we'll start with WMATA.com. So the goal of the new WMATA.com is to make it faster and easier for our customers to get the service information that they rely on each and every day that they ride with us. The new website was built with customer input and designed around our customer needs. It works better on phones where most of our customers are actually accessing information about Metro. The new site provides clear, more accurate real-time information about all of our services. It supports more languages and is much more accessible than our current website. And finally, the new WMATA.com is a part of our commitment to modernize and improve the customer experience. On the right side of this screen is a screenshot of the new WMATA.com homepage. It includes trip planning, arrival information, and system status as well. So I mentioned this previously, but the new site is really designed for today's customers. The last major refresh of WMATA.com occurred in 2016. And as we all know, lots of stuff has changed since then. And so we're really taking this as an opportunity to respond to the new expectations that our customers have, and really leverage a mobile first design to make sure that folks that are accessing our website on their mobile phones get all the information that they need. And finally, we want to leverage all of the advancements that's happened in transit data and make sure that we're using all of our the tools in our toolbox to get more accurate and real-time information to our customers. One of the most exciting parts about the new website is what we're calling Rider Tools. We're for the first time consolidating all of our information tools in one place on the new site. So that includes trip planning, nearby service information, bus route and rail lines, real-time and scheduled arrivals, and station and stop information, all in a singular place in the new site. So this slide includes a screenshot of the Rider Tools web application. Across the top of the screen, you see four major sections: Ride, Pay, News, and Help. Those tabs link to more information about Metro and really highlight the things that our customers are accessing the site most often for. In the Rider Tools web application, there are three tabs: Trip Planner, which allows you to get directions from point A to point B using Metro services; Service Nearby, which gives you the arrival information at bus stops and rail stations nearby your current location; and Lines, which provides a listing of all of our rail lines and bus routes across the system. This slide here shows an overview of what a station detail page would show on the new site. At the top of the screen, you see the name of the station, Metro Center in this case, with all of the services that serve that station, in this case, blue, silver, orange, and red. This tab or this page has three tabs as well: the Arrivals tab, the Status tab, and the Information tab. The Arrivals tab shows you the arrival information for the station. So in this case, it's grouped by direction. So you can see Largo and New Carrollton bound trains and Franconia, Springfield, Ashburn, and Vienna bound trains. We also have a Status tab, which provides you all of the real-time alerts that are associated with this, in this case, station or stop or line. So if there's any alerts, say for instance, an elevator that's down or an escalator that's under repair, you'll be able to see that information directly on the Metro Center station page. We also have the Information tab, and I'm showing a new slide that is an expanded view of the New Carrollton station information tab. Here you can see station information, like accessibility information. You can see parking information, the number of spaces available, and how you can pay. We also have information about bike parking, bike availability, and we have links for you to be able to also provide any sort of issues that you may have interacting with the station or route. I wanted to take a little bit of a moment and talk a little bit about the accessibility features that are built into the new WMATA.com website. We've conducted extensive testing to ensure that our site meets accessibility standards and making sure that we're using these as a way to enhance the experience for all of our customers. So we did testing primarily in two major ways. First, we did a suite of automated testing to validate conformance with WCAG 2.2 level AA. We used SiteImprove to review the site for conformance with the guidelines, and then we supplemented that with digital tools like DQ and VoiceOver for additional website accessibility testing. We also validated that the site was accessible via various assistive technologies, including JAWS, NVDA, VoiceOver, and TalkBack. And then we also validated that all functions on the new site were operable without touch or mouse. We verified that the website design met all WCAG color contrast ratios, and we conducted testing on mobile devices to validate that the system uses native accessibility APIs like UI accessibility and Android accessibility services. But we wanted to go further than just doing automated testing for accessibility of the site. So we conducted additional manual testing with accessibility experts. And those experts are also folks that have disabilities. And we wanted to make sure we did this to also add a little bit of qualitative understanding for what could be improved on the site and determine immediate priority fixes that can improve the accessibility of the site. We're also in progress with working with this group to do some testing as well. I think you all received an email from the coordinators of the AAC to solicit testing as test subjects. So we're still open for folks that might want to do some of the testing of the site as well. I also wanted to highlight some smarter language access for the new site. So at launch, the new site will be translated into 13 languages, and that will be with a combination of artificial and professional translations. All pages within the Writer Tools web application, which I started the conversation talking about, have been professionally translated. And the languages will include at launch Spanish, Chinese Simplified, Chinese Traditional, Vietnamese, Amharic, Russian, Somalian, Arabic, Portuguese, Filipino, Korean, French, and Dari. And this slide includes a screenshot of Writer Tools web application in Chinese. And I'm excited to announce that the new website will be launching on May 17th. I see a couple hands up. So, Maggie, is it okay if we pause in the middle for questions for the .com before we move to MetroPulse?
It's up to the chair.
Thank you, Maggie. I was going to say it's up to Maggie. I will just say one thing. I was going to come in with lots of technical questions, double A, you know, WCAG double A, and tools you use and all that stuff. And I'm depressed because you hit all the tools that I would have used. You hit all the technical requirements that I would have hit. And what I really like is that you've switched the focus from all about WMATA to all about what the customer wants
Certainly.
and needs. And I sense a little bit of Sarah in the just a little bit. Anyway, I'm impressed. Well done. Let's go to
You.
Paul first and then Philip. I think you're up next. Go ahead, Paul.
All right, good afternoon. Paul Silverfort, Metro Access Subcommittee Chair. I'm an African American male, shaved head and 50 and red shirt. My question with this new WMATA.com, because Metro Access customers will be asking, in the scheme of things, when this goes to, an app desktop, how visible or will be things that matter to Metro Access customers on the website to get to in terms of their the Metro Access web booking or Easy Pay so they can add funds into their account. Where would that be located? Will they have to go through a series of menu items or will it be more prioritized up front? Like for instance, I have the because I use paratransit in New York, my MTA app. It has, train bus information, but it also has up in the front forward paratransit where I can click on that and do things like book trips and things like that very quickly. How would this be integrated into this website upgrade in terms of an app or application? People like me who may want to use the app or use a desktop to access it.
Yeah. No, that's a wonderful question, and I appreciate that. So we've been trying to do a lot of thinking on how we can elevate all of the things that our customers care about. So I spent a little bit of time talking about the bus and rail and focusing on the Writer Tools, but we've also kind of elevated the Metro Access visibility as well. And so I mentioned at the very top of the screen there were four options. So greatly slimmed down from what we have today. Ride, pay, help, and news. And right under Ride, as soon as you click or hover over that, one of the first things that you'll see is Metro Access. And it's all things Metro Access. So links to Easy Pay, links to web booking, all of that stuff is just one hover or click away on the site.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Very good. Philip?
I was also was wondering when you said you mentioned that there are like some like the people attesting there are people with disabilities. Are those, are any of those people have like have developmental or intellectual disabilities, or is this all just physical disabilities?
Yeah, so we had a broad range. I think there were about 10 accessibility testers with various different disabilities. So I'll have to go and look back at the report that documented what all of the disabilities are. But we worked with we subcontracted this work through a firm called Nobility, and they were the ones that kind of conducted that professional testing.
Right. Other questions?
Not at this time, Chair.
Philip, I just wanted to mention if you wanted to recommend additional individuals to test the application, we are previewing the site for those testers and can give access to those individuals that you might think might be helpful to us.
And I just had one other point. I am impressed with what you've said so far. I think this is great. I like the fact that this has moved to a customer focus from let's say WMATA focused website. Videos. I assume that you have videos on your YouTube channel captioned. And I don't know if you know anything about audio description, but there's a requirement. At least under, I assume you're under Section 508 of the Rehab Act. I'm not sure where your technical requirements fall.
Maggie, can you help?
Yes. So we abide by 508, but WCAG is what
Right.
our gold standard.
Okay. And that, yeah, there's a requirement for audio description and captioning under that. I don't know if you've done any audio description or know that what that is, but I've got some resources that if we're looking at that, we can suggest make some suggestions and as I said, bring some people in or let you know some talent that's out there that can do this kind of work.
That's great. Thank you so
Good.
much. I would
Thank you.
welcome that.
Good.
And Pat, we have some new how to pay videos that I believe we did captioning for, but it's worth Anthony and Claire, if you could take a double check to see if those how to pay videos are going on the website, and if they are, those are good
They
videos
may, and
with.
yeah, they may need audio description, whatever, as someone
And yeah.
who, won't be able to see the visual video piece. But, that's sort of video by video. It's a little bit not as strict. The requirement is there, but all videos don't need audio description, although all videos, most videos, 90% of them need captioning. Yeah, I get that. Good. Other questions? We're being easy on you, sir.
I appreciate it.
yeah, that's a, we'll take a look at it, I'm sure, in the next couple of weeks. Talk to me a little bit about documents. Are you using PDF documents? I'm sure you had fun with that. Documents and
Yes.
forms.
Yes, certainly. So we are working through that as well. As you can imagine, with this sort of level of site migration, I'm finding lots of really old PDFs from, the early aughts, that we have to work through. So we've been excited to work with all of our stakeholders and with Maggie's team to understand kind of what our standards should be moving forward with PDF documents. I think in general, our preference is to move away from them so that we don't have quite as many.
Yay.
And we have the information that directly on the site. And we'll have lots more flexibilities for stakeholders. I think there were some limitations to the current site, which caused folks to need to use PDFs. But I think as we become a little bit more flexible in how the site works, we'll be able to do some of those without PDFs.
Good.
And then the forms, yes, we have rebuilt a lot of the forms that exist on the site, and those are also fully accessible and have been incorporated in our testing as well.
There was a Metro Access form that was still print, write it out in pencil and mail it in. Maybe that, I don't know if you caught that one or not, for Metro Access eligibility. But yeah, forms are fun. And
Certainly.
yeah, good. Excellent. And is there going to be, I mean, you're going to roll this out You know how much people love change. Is there going to be communication that comes out with it?
Yes, sir. We're working on the comms campaign partnership with our comms department.
Oh, I'm missing. I'm not hearing you as well.
Uh-oh, can you hear me?
Little better now.
Okay, apologies for that. Yes, we are working on a comms campaign in partnership with our comms team, and that will be rolling out in advance of the launch, and then we'll continue throughout the first couple weeks after the site launches as well.
Beautiful. Okay, yeah. I think, as you probably know, we'd have members of this committee that would love to get input into the sites. Sandy, you had your hand raised.
Yes, Sandy Neuzel. So, in your very succinct four tabs at the top, is help where you would go to find all sorts of documents and YouTubes and recorded meetings, or would that be news, or where would one go look for that type of information on the website?
Yeah, so it depends on in particular what you're looking for help on, and what sort of meetings or events you're talking about. Under the news section, that's where all of the calendar of events will live. And so, for example, things like recordings of public
Today's
hearings.
meeting.
Exactly. That will live both in the events section as well as in the AAC section of the site. So I highlighted the four sections up top. But there's lots of additional information that is in the footer of the site as well. So that's where you'll find things like the general about section, things about planning, operations, our strategic plan, budget, and things like that. What we wanted to do was really focus on the things that customers were visiting the site for upfront, and then make sure all of the other things are accessible, but lower priority since it's not what's really driving the traffic by customers.
Okay, thank you.
Good.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Steve.
Great. Hi, Steve Caffin, and Caucasian male, short black hair. I recently gave myself a haircut because it was $45 down the street, and I didn't do a bad job. And wearing a three-button black shirt. Will this site be replicated on desktops?
Yes, the site will be available on desktops and mobile devices. Yes, sir.
And also, will it have a print capability? I know currently for the next bus, for no, for the directions aspect, currently, it doesn't. And when you headline, the piece that you want, it doesn't give you it doesn't give you the walking piece. And I don't know why it doesn't, but the question is, will it have a print component so people can print out what they need?
Yeah, I have to double check on that. I believe so, but I don't want to make any promises up front. So let me just double check that, and then I'll provide information following the meeting, if that's okay.
And it pr principally the directions, not so much everything else, but just the
Okay.
directions. Because if people are at home and they even go on their tablet or whatever and just want to print out the directions with the connections before they leave. The other thing is, for next bus, if you put in the next bus code, it works perfectly, but you can't delete that code and put in another code. You actually have to come out of the site and go back in and then put in another five-digit code. So let's say a person has two has an alternative to bus. It's a simple thing to do. It's mechanical, but it's probably an easy fix in the new system.
I am jotting that down to validate, but I don't expect that you'll have that issue on the new site.
Okay, thank you.
Of course, thank you.
Hey, congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
Any other hands up?
Not at this time, Chairman.
Not a, okay, very good. Just trying to think if there's anything else. So when this site comes down onto a tablet or a phone, let's see, Android wise, you said you use TalkBack. I think remember hearing that.
Yes, sir.
But this site is, it's been around for a while, responsive, right? So when I'm using it on the iPhone, it's going to look proper with the icons and all that. Yeah.
Yes, sir. We actually during the design phase, we designed the mobile views first.
Oh, really? Okay.
So yes,
Oh,
sir. So we wanted to
wonderful.
make sure, since I think it's about at this point about 85% of our customers are actually accessing the site via their mobile devices. So we
Oh,
wanted to make sure
wow.
that we were getting that right first.
Well, let's see. It would make me a dinosaur then. Very good. Excellent. That's good. Any other questions? I guess. Oh, we didn't finish Pulse. Let's jump to
Yes.
Pulse. I'm sorry. Yes. Thank you.
No worries. Speaking of mobile devices and mobile applications, our customers also are really we're really thrilled by the release of the Metro Pulse mobile application last year. But we also heard that maybe there were some thinking or thoughts or things that we can improve on that application. So we wanted to take advantage of new capabilities that we had, mainly from Claire's team, to understand how we can improve the UX of the Mobile Pulse application. And we are excited to announce that we are very close to being able to release a brand new version. We're calling it Metro Pulse 2.0, that is very responsive to some of the feedback that we've heard from our customers. We wanted to really aim to improve clarity, trust, and ease of use of the application through better design, and be responsive to all of the feedback that we've heard from our customers, over the past year. This slide has a screenshot of an iPhone background, and you'll see a Metro Pulse app icon on the home screen with a brown Metro M, which reflects the new app icon for the mobile app. So before kicking off this redesign exercise, we really wanted to focus on understanding what the needs were from our customers and what we were doing well and what we weren't doing well. So we reviewed all App Store feedback and feedback that had been shared with our customer services team. We also reviewed all of the findings from the usability testing that was led last year by our customer research team. And then Claire's team led a robust user experience review of the application. Comparing it to other transit applications and other apps that people use for navigation and wayfinding. And through this exercise, we found lots of things that were similar across all of these channels of feedback. Customers expressed issues with navigating the app and general usability challenges. We also heard that there was a desire for simpler access to most used information, particularly things that individual riders care about, so personalization of the application. We also heard that there was a lack of clarity and understanding on certain features. Customers felt like when they clicked a certain thing, they expected it to do one thing, and it didn't always do that. So these were kind of our the things that we wanted to really tackle when we kicked off this redesign. But we also wanted to make sure that we were focusing on the things that people wanted to do in the application as well. As you can imagine, everyone can rattle off off the top of their head what those things are. Find out when their next bus or trainer is coming. Figure out how to get from point A to point B. And then understand if there are any issues that might be impacting their trip. So these were the things that we wanted to focus on when we tackled this redesign effort. And some of the design principles that we came up with as a team, improve understanding by reducing information overload. More information is not always better. We also wanted to build trust through consistency of visuals and information, such that if you click a button in one part of the app, it does the exact same thing as clicking that button in a different part of the app. And also, people are unique and they use applications like this very differently. So we wanted to make sure that we were supporting expected and unexpected pathways throughout the entire application so that you never ended up in a dead end and you could always get to where you wanted to go from where you are currently. So one of the major things that we've changed with the Metro Pulse application is that we've created a new Explore view, which replaces the current Nearby view. The new Explore view now groups stops by route. These screenshots on this page show an example, L'Enfant Plaza Station, with the upcoming three arrivals at L'Enfant Plaza shown. And then we show, in this example, the C55 Union Station L'Enfant Plaza route. And it shows the two nearby stops on the C55 in both direction. So in this case, D Street and 6th Street eastbound and westbound. And in general, we've increased the size of the fonts on the application overall, and generally try to make provide less information and more meaningful information so that we weren't overloading our customers. And in general, bigger fonts, more color contrast, and more accessibility. I also wanted to spend a moment talking about the new search feature because some of our customers have expressed lots of frustration with how the search works on the current application. So the new search will be filterable by rail, bus, and general locations or places. And search results are actually also grouped by those same categories. So if in the example of searching for the word green, you will get results for rail, like the Green Line or Greensboro or Green Belt, but you'll also get bus results, like the P32 from Green Belt to Fort Totten, or the M54 Colesville Green Castle. And then you also can search for things like bus stop IDs, route badges, and all of those things can be searched using our new powerful search feature. Also, you'll be able to favorite items directly from the search page as well, so that we can improve personalization of the application. We've also redesigned the line and route detail pages. So this slide shows an example of the blue line detail page. And one of the things that we recognize through our early research is that oftentimes when people are interacting with things like lines and routes, they don't actually care about the full extent of the route. They're most interested in the arrivals at stops and stations on that route that's nearby them. So when interacting with a new line or route, what you actually see first and foremost are the stations and the arrivals at the stations on that line that are nearby you. But if you do want to get more information about that line or route, you make one more click, and then you can see the full route ladder in both directions. And you can also see on both of those pages any alerts that are impacting that line or route. And for the first time, we're also excited to show that we will be showing lines and routes with branches on a singular map. So you'll be able to see that in context, the full route. We've also made some improvements to the visual design of our trip planner to make it easier and simpler to understand. We're also excited that we've streamlined the trip options to allow individuals to specify the particular mode preference, their route preferences. So if they care about the fastest route, least transfers, or the least walking, as well as accessibility preferences like needing an elevator or escalator. We've also made it such that once you get your list of trip itineraries, you can modify your trip options directly from that screen versus having to navigate back and then resubmit your search. And then I wanted to take a little bit of time to talk about the accessibility approach on the MetroPulse. And I'm going to talk about it in kind of two major buckets, both first, the design approach, and then secondly, the implementation approach. We really leveraged the design system from WMATA.com to begin a foundation that was accessible by design. So we didn't start from scratch. We started from a tested foundation. So color contrast, interactive element sizing, text sizing, et cetera, were all pulled from that existing design system. And then we ex extended that design system specifically for mobile devices, ensuring that, again, text sizes, spacing, et cetera, works optimally on small screens. And I highlighted this earlier, but we increased the overall font size for the entire application. And we also decreased the amount of information conveyed on each page to improve general usability for all customers. And then we've partnered with the digital modernization team to implement these designs exactly as we've designed them to ensure accessible starting point. And then they've been leading an exercise to test the application against WCAG conformance, to make sure that we're meeting all of our guidelines, including all application variables being tagged to support screen readers, and then leveraging assistive technology validation, things like VoiceOver on iOS or TalkBack on Android. And our early results have shown a marked improvement in accessibility over the current MetroPulse application. And we look forward to continuing to work with DM to further improve the accessibility of the application. And the MetroPulse app redesign will be launching on May 31st. So it'll be a busy month for the team.
Very good. So you have one coming out on the 17th and another one 2 weeks later.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And just so I get it in my head properly, the MetroPulse is not a separate application.
Yeah, so
It's,
great
yeah.
question. The MetroPulse app is our dedicated native application. So while WMATA.com will be fully mobile, accessible and mobile friendly and mobile first, some folks just like to have a mobile app. MetroPulse is that native mobile application.
So it will be separate from WMATA.com.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
But we've worked to align the design so that they feel like
Yes.
a cohesive
They
experience. Yes,
feel
sir.
like, okay. Yeah, I was trying to figure out if it was inside WMATA.com, but you'd launch that separately. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I have a sneaky suspicion that Writers Advisory Committee will be wanting to talk to you about MetroPulse 2.0 since there were a lot of questions you brought up here that they've been asking for months. So
We'll be
wouldn't be
there on Wednesday.
you'll be good. I get to hear it again. Okay. Excellent. Yeah, there was a lot of stuff that you covered here that they've been asking for. That'll be great. Good. Any other questions?
Steve Crawford has him.
No, I
Go
yeah,
ahead,
this
Steve.
is
Ms.
this is
Swanda.
this this is thank you. Thanks, Maggie. This is real quick. I've noticed that if a bus stop is temporarily moved, both the bus information for the stop that no longer exists temporarily and for the new stop suddenly blanks out and there are dashes in the system. I say that because that information may be available within a system, and as you're building this site, you might want to take a look at putting that back. Not so much if let's say there's 3 or 4 weeks of construction, but if you're talking about 3 to 6 months or maybe longer, you might take a look at that. Could I quickly just give you Let me just give you a bus stop that you can look at because it's a good example. It's the bus
Please.
stop. Just write the, if you would write this down, Anthony. It's the bus stop. The stop is Q and 22nd Street, and the three buses that stop there but don't anymore temporarily. Let's see, are the D96, the D74, and the C51. Right now there's no bus information there, and there's no bus information for the relocated one. So, it could be in the system, and you might want to build it into the WMATA.com.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you.
No, I appreciate that, and I'll certainly look into that. Thank you, Steve.
All right. And Swatha, you're up next.
Hi, I'm Swatha. I am a late 20s Indian American woman wearing a black shirt today. And my questions are there. I've got a few of them. Building off of Steve's questions about the bus stop movement or the buses now stopping at a stop for temporarily. How does information about detours get conveyed on within an app? Because I've seen occasionally that there'll be a detour alerts, but not sure, but like they won't say where the detour is, so.
No, that's a great question. So currently, I believe the MIC is putting out information about the detours. I think currently those things are being applied to the specific route levels. And then we're working internally on seeing if we can improve that process such that we can provide that information at the particular affected stops. But that's certainly good information that we need to kind of improve how we are highlighting the detours and the detour information at the stops that are affected. So we will definitely take that back to the team.
Okay, next question on the MetroPulse app. Is it possible for you like kind of so I know like a lot of apps will take contrast or dark mode from the like based on the iOS settings. So like is it possible for the MetroPulse app to do anything like maybe give it like you can have your phone in dark mode or light mode, but like can it like automatically adapt to that?
This is actually, it's interesting that you bring this up because this has come up before, that there was interest in accommodating some sort of dark mode on the application. So it likely won't be in the next launch on May 31st, but we'll definitely add that to the product roadmap and talk to DM about how we could accomplish that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you,
Thank you.
Swatha. Philip, I think maybe we can make this last question so I can keep on my agenda. Go ahead,
Does she
Philip.
have Philippa is next?
Oh, is it Philippa? I'm
Yes.
sorry. Philippa, go ahead. Yes.
Yeah, this will be quick. Good evening again. I apologize if I happen to miss you saying this while I was traveling and trying to pay attention to my stops, but is this going to have a tutorial? Or do you consider it highly intuitive for people who are not even advanced in technology?
I think the answer is going to be both.
Okay.
I think our goal is to make it really easy, but we will also make sure that there's information available on how to use the application as well.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Okay, good. Well, sir, I know there'll be a lot of people looking at the apps, and I'm sure you'll be getting a lot of feedback. Maggie, how would you like to work feedback? Have individuals write to you or Miriam, and then transfer it over that way.
So we'll take all the feedback tonight. If you have additional feedback outside of tonight's conversation, you can send it through the Metro Chair dot com at WMATA.com email account, and then we'll send it over to Sarah's team.
Perfect. Beautiful. All right, sir. Thank you. Excellent presentation. Look
Thank
forward
you.
to the rollout, and congratulations on what I've heard today. Sounds like it was well thought out, and you've got a lot of people.
Chair Sheehan,
Awesome.
I think Phil has a question too.
Philip.
Yeah, one stroke.
Oh, Philip, go ahead. Philip, you have the last question. Thank you, sir.
I also am wondering about what also the will the will the Pulse app as well as the new Metro site will also give any alerts of like when there's like a disruption of Metro Rail, like for example this summer when they have to close those three state red line stations to deal with the purple line. Will they like have like know like the and how they can get through it? There's going to be bus bridge or what they have to do to get to the next open station.
Yes, sir. That information will be incorporated into the application. So whenever you interact with one of the affected stops or stations, we will provide information around kind of what's happening from the alert side. And then we're hoping to kind of, as we continue to improve the application, I'm working through further improvements on how we can provide information like on the shuttle availability and things like that. But that's kind of on the future roadmap.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to
Okay.
speak to the committee.
Great. Thank you. And I'm sure we'll have you back soon. Thank you very much. Nice job. All right. Dr. Butler, I believe that you are up next with system-wide accessibility update for us.
Yes, so I have one major update. This is Maggie Butler, VP of System-Wide Accessibility, African American female, sitting in my office and wearing a brown shirt and black jacket. So I wanted to provide an update regarding the Metro Access recertification feasibility study. Following you all's research and engagement with a cross-functional internal team within Metro, staff did assess the options for recertification, and based on this work, it was determined that all customers with permanent disabilities will have a 5-year recertification window. And at the time of recertification, a healthcare provider's document is not required. So this approach is intended to reduce unnecessary administrative burden on customers while maintaining the program integrity and compliance. So that's the first update. I'll stop there and see if there are any questions. We do.
I will say yay.
Well,
Kind of
someone
just to
for
start off with. Paul, let
it.
me just jump in here for I wanted does this go into effect immediately? I had a person who actually needs to be recertified in early June. So when does
It
this?
does not. Mr. Blake, we're thinking we would take a progressive approach. So, Mr. Blake, if you wanted to share a little bit about that, he might not be available. Oh,
Sorry,
there he is.
Christian Blake, Access Services, black male, glasses, Metro jacket, even though it's getting warm now. I believe, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Butler, but I believe this is going to take effect July 1st, I thought.
Yes. So we do internally, we have to, manage
We're still
some
discussing that.
changes.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. We'll have certainty by the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting for sure.
Yeah,
I
so
believe
this will
I was
help
under
be
the
on my
impression.
agenda. Paul, wait a minute, wait a minute.
I was under the impression the start of the fiscal year, along with some other changes that are occurring. But let me get with Dr. Butler and we'll confirm it by the time of the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting.
Perfect. Okay. Hey, Paul, you're up. Go ahead, sir.
So, yes, because this would fall in line with what New York City Paratransit is doing for those who are with conditions that don't improve in the 5-year period. All they have to do is update with a form, no medical information, which I do now, and just update certain things and a photo ID if I can email it to them, and updated photo, and then a card gets issued, and that's it.
Thank you, Paul. Other hands?
Yes, Philippa is next.
Philippa, yes.
Hi, again. I didn't introduce myself before. Philippa Mazzell, African American female. I'm not telling you my age. But I just wanted to say praise the Lord for this because I have been asking for this for a few years now because I felt it was particularly onerous on people with visual disabilities because they always want to put those burning drops in our eyes and shine those horrible lights on us just to recertify us. So thank you for being responsive. I appreciate it. And on behalf of the low vision community, I'm sure they appreciate it as well.
Beautiful.
Next,
Other hand,
Sandy.
yeah. Sandy, go ahead.
Thank you. Maggie, you used the term persons with permanent disabilities. Will there be documentation or outline or definition of what a permanent disability is, or will it be like Paul Semafor made the analogy to New York? If whatever your condition doesn't improve in 5 years, that's sufficient. So, how is this going to be explained to the Metro Access clients?
So I will let Mr. Blake share.
At this time, the way we're looking, we're using the term permanent disability as the way it was presented in the spirit it was presented. But it appears that the approach we're going to take is if your
And if you've been found eligible, your recertification will not require a doctor's note. We're recognizing the disabilities. If you're not, the real distinction is going to be a person who gets that 5-year card, when they recertify, they won't. If you're not considered to have a permanent disability at the beginning, i.e., you broke your leg, you're not going to get a 5-year eligibility anywhere. You're going to get the 1 year. So that's going to be the biggest distinction. If you're being certified as eligible for a temporary eligibility, your card is going to be good for 1 year to begin with. But if you're getting a 5-year card, that card essentially saying you're a full Metro Access customer, and when you recertify, it will not require a doctor's signature.
Okay. And I'd like to say just kudos to a couple of people here. Janice Samuel, I think you started the ball rolling. I think it was last June. Philippa, you were advocating for this. Sandy Neuzel, also a big, I think a big round of applause goes to Sarah for her work in looking at what was out there, putting the material together. Advocating for it amongst the AAC, Metro Access committees, and all of that. She just did yeoman's work. So I wish you were here tonight to hear all this, but big kudos to her for doing all this work. I mean, great work by the committee. And I think
Thank you,
this is a
Pat,
nice,
and
nice milestone.
a big kudos to Sarah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, good. Okay. All right, Maggie. I'm sorry. Did we? I don't know if you finished your report, but we were thrilled about that. I pr appreciate that.
No problem at all. I think there's one more question from
So, what is
Sparta.
next? Yeah.
Hi. Just a quick question, just clarifying. To receive the permanent disability classification, that will happen when you reapply, right? Not in the middle of your eligibility period. So like for me, like I reapplied last year, I think, or and I got my card last year, but my disability is not going to change. It might get worse, but I'm like. So do I wait until like I reapply for that, or how's that gonna work?
Yes, I would say yes. So I assume, I'm not sure, but your card is good for 3 years when you
Yeah.
were, yes. So your eligibility is going to be up in 3 years. That's not going to change. But when you come back, you won't have to have the doctor's signature. And if you're recertified, it'll be for 5 years at that point. I think that might have been, now that's all coming back to me, that might have been what Dr. Butler was, no, we were talking about the start date. I believe it's July 1st, but we're going to focus on that. But when we refer to the progressiveness or the progression, it's going to be more like instead of everybody getting a brand new card tomorrow or July 1st or what have you, let's just go through the progression of your existing eligibility, and then you'll be on the 5-year card if you're recertified after that.
All right, thank you.
All right. You're making a lot of friends tonight, Mr. Blank.
I like
Oh, it's only temporary. Don't worry about it. It's good.
that.
Very good. Okay. Any other questions? No, that's extremely good news. I think a lot of people are very pleased with that decision. Any other questions?
Not at
Any other
this
hands
time,
up?
Chair
Good.
Schumer,
Okay.
no.
Thank you. Very good. Maggie,
One
good
more.
questions here. Go ahead.
So we're also going to talk a little bit about the reduced fare card and Metro Access replacement fee update. So as it pertains to the reduced fare card and the Metro Access replacement fees, staff is providing an update in response to a concern that was raised during a public comment period, I believe in January. So staff has determined that there will be a reduction in the replacement fee for both the reduced fare card and the Metro Access card. But to move forward, a formal resolution will need to be developed. And so we will need to work through creating that resolution, but we do anticipate moving that process forward by the end of the calendar year.
Okay,
So
good.
additional details will be provided at a later time, but wanted to let you all know
Great,
where we
thank you
are with
for that.
that.
Good. And I have three questions just to follow up. Looking for a timeline on the restrooms, that study. I think the emergency training is something else that we were looking at. And then under the signage, I think that is going to be implemented sometime fairly soon. Do we have any more updates, just general updates on those three things?
So for the bathroom, we still have the same cadence. We're looking to provide an update to the public within the next 2 to 3 months, so June, July. And then for the signage, we do not have an update past what Sam shared. We do know that the timeline extended, but we haven't received an additional update. And your last one, oh, the emergency
Emergency.
preparedness. So the last meeting we had with Nakia, it looks like you all were available after June 17th. So we'll reconnect with her about the scheduling of that, but she has all of the comments, she has the dates. We just need to confirm
Okay,
internally
good.
to
Okay.
coordinate.
Excellent. Good. That's great. And along with the IT modernization and various other things going on, I think we're pretty busy and moving in a good direction. Thank you. Any other questions for Dr. Butler?
Well, number ending or 3058, I'm not sure.
This is Vanessa. I'm on my wireless phone. I just had a question regarding the recertification card, because a lot of people who have permanent disabilities, they don't even have ophthalmologists. Is it possible to get that recertification through their primary care doctor?
I will let
Well,
Mr. Blake answer
yeah,
that one.
maybe I'm missing the question. This
So a lot of times,
recertification
if
comes,
your
yeah, go ahead.
if your condition is permanent, I know a lot of people who don't see a doctor. The only time they see them is to get the certification, and Columbia Lighthouse would do that because they have an ophthalmologist. So when it's time for them to renew, because the primary care doctor looks from head to toe, is it possible to get your recertification through your primary care, then getting an ophthalmologist to do
So,
that just for certification?
I thought that's what you asked. So I was just wanting to get clarification. Well, keep in mind, moving forward, I'm not going to need the doctor's signature. So that's not going to be a reason to have to go to the doctor. This approach does recognize, again, if we give you that 5-year eligibility, we're in a sense saying we recognize your permanent disability. And when you come to recertify, you're going to just be submitting the application. And we hope, in a year or two or three, application, you might be able to just do it with a QR code if you have a cell phone. If not, you can still do the paper application, but it will not require the doctor's note. So again, we're now, as was suggested, we're recognizing permanent disability. We're just not granting permanent eligibility. But we're recognizing the permanent disability. Therefore, you won't have to worry about primary or ophthalmologists or getting what Philippa was saying, the drops and the lights, all that's gone. You just submit your new application and we'll make a decision on some things. But generally speaking, it will not require a doctor's signature moving forward.
Right.
So that's all cut out,
Right.
period. Okay.
Yep.
That is
So,
correct.
I'm hoping, Mr. Blake, that we will be able to upgrade the paper form, although I love it so much, into something that's maybe form online form. But we can talk about that.
That's the next step. Yeah, that's the
That's what
QR
I'll have.
code approach.
Or
Yes.
just a online form that can be submitted. Yeah. But it's something we can talk about. We'll take this win, right? We'll celebrate that. Good. No more questions for Dr. Butler. I'll move on to public comment period.
Swatha has her hand raised.
All right. Swatha, was this for Dr. Butler? Was this for
It's for Dr.
public?
Butler. Yes.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sorry. So you mentioned that the fee for replacing a lost or damaged Metro Access or reduced fare a card will be lowered, right?
That's correct, Swatha.
Okay. If you're a like is the only way is to get a replacement card either by handwriting like mail like sorry so I've lost two cards before, so how like I've heard like how I was told to get my cards replaced was to either go to the office down in L'Enfant or to write to Metro like sent in a mail in like letter form. Is there an alternative to even those? Because that might be a barrier to getting card replaced.
That I have to defer to my colleagues at Access Services. Mr. Blake, are you able to answer that one?
Right, I kind of miss. So the question was about the potential
Oh.
change in the replacement card price.
Yeah,
Well,
or like an alternative to getting it like writing in the mail or going down to Lompoc Plaza to get a card replaced. Like it's
what
an
would be
alternative to that.
so? Is there an alternative to either getting it in the mail or coming to L'Enfant?
Yes.
At this time, no, there is not an alternative to either of those two. In very rare, extreme circumstances, I have been known to jump in an Uber and hand deliver a card or a member of my team. We don't want to make that a habit, if you get my drift, but help me, understand a little better. Tell me what other alternatives would you
Oh
are
yeah.
you considering? We can put it on the table.
So I was thinking like writing an email or writing like calling office, getting it in the mail. I mean like for me like I can't handwrite any a letter or like traveling to L'Enfant might not always be feasible for me, like easy for me to do. So is there an alternative to that to those processes? I mean like in the like if I call like I get told to come down to the font, or if like there's no way to email request to request the like, email to email a request.
Yeah, oh sure. You're saying can you email a request for a replacement card?
Yes, because
Oh, absolutely.
yeah,
Yes, absolutely.
Well,
Yes.
Chris,
Squatha.
sorry,
Yeah.
Christopher Colbert speaking.
Go ahead, Chris.
I just wanted to clarify something with that, which is that while we can take a request by means other than in person or in writing, we still have to collect payment. So right now that's where the issue lies. Is just with getting set up to have some sort of online payment, and we're not going to take credit card information over the phone, just for security reasons.
Okay.
So that's where we are now. That's not to say that that may not change in the future, but that's why we're only able to do it that way now.
Okay.
And
I was just asking because that might for me is that could be a barrier for some folks who cannot don't have transit down there or cannot write handwrite letter in writing, so.
Swatha, you're aware that if you're Metro Access eligible, that bus and rail is free, correct?
Yes, I do.
So I think even if you're running, correct me here, Mr. Blake, if you're taking paratransit within, what is it, in Arlington or whatever, does that still make you eligible for free bus and rail
Oh
on
no, I
Metro.
think it's more like the like for me, like on the ID card is tied to the free fare and the I need to present my ID to a Metro Access driver to get on the vehicle. So I mean that's the issue there.
Okay.
But thank you.
Good. Okay. Thank you, Swatha. We're good. All right. Let's see. Any other hands up?
Not
Or,
at this time, Trishy,
all right.
huh?
Very good.
Steve
So we.
Coffin just raised his hand.
Oh, I think Steve used up all his chances tonight.
Yeah, no. Well, I know, and this is, and you know, when this
Go
is
ahead,
not
Steve.
okay. This is not accessibility. I attended the bus conference last week, and I'll save discussion of that for next week. But you know, I outside the WMATA headquarters was sitting a bus, and the bus is brown in color. And it was the first, so I asked about it. I didn't know what was doing there. And it turns out that may be the new bus color that that WMATA is choosing for its buses. And I didn't, you know, normally something like that comes with maybe some customer comments and maybe a survey or what have you. And I may have been out of it. You know, brown, it's kind of it's brown. And in reading further about this, it's the reason is the branding, the heritage of WMATA initially was for the transport was brown in color. And so in effect we're nostalgically going back to that color. And it's not for me, who knows very little about how decisions are made like this, to comment, except, you know, we're a bright and happy and lively city with beautiful parks that and green and space and there are certain colors that are more applicable to that kind of attitude. And so without saying any more, I just wanted to bring it to bring everybody, let everybody know, because it looks like the brown is coming.
So I tell you what, Steve, we will punt that discussion to next week. I'll let Tino take care of that one, and we'll see what where we go with Brown.
And we're not going to be able to resolve it at our meeting, but I just
Right.
thought I'd bring it up.
Good. Thank you, sir. Now, believe it or not, we are on time for our bus, rail, metro access subcommittees. I think Paul, are you up?
Hi. So, welcome to your Metro Access Subcommittee Chair.
All
Good
right. Oh, and
everyone
then I'll
here.
jump to Tino. Okay. Cool. Thanks.
Yeah. I
All
thought
right.
public comment came
So,
first. Am I on?
wait a minute. Hang on. I'm not picking up.
Oh, I thought I was
Am I
Tino.
muted?
Oh, Tino, you want to go for it? Go ahead, sir. Yes, I'm sorry. I jumped over you by mistake. Go
Oh,
ahead,
sorry.
Tino.
Yeah. During the April meeting, one of the big items was hearing about the 8000 series. And the representative said it's moving from final design review to qualifications testing. Apart from what was said then, I might mention, just as Sarah and I forgot the name of the other woman who helped us go to see the New York pilot project last year, we should do the same with respect to the 8000 series. We won't have to go far. We took a bus to get to the pilot station in Brooklyn, New York, we don't have to go that far, but let's keep in mind that we should have a visit to see the whatever is in the works already for the 8000 series. There was also a discussion of the bus stop accessibility and sidewalk level signage. And part of that was stimulated by the work that has preceded, carried on by the multimodal accessibility advisory council of DC. That were the main items. Incidentally, several times in the draft, Sarah Rott's name was incorrectly spelled, so I would certainly fix that. That's it for what occurred in April. Thank you.
Thank you, Tino, and it's good to have you back, Tino.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good. Any questions for Tino?
This is Sandy. I wanted to add that another topic that was discussed in April, Sam Sarabin did an update on the wayfinding signage in rollout for L'Enfant Plaza, how they used sort of a three-dimensional construction of the L'Enfant Plaza station to guide their wayfinding within the station, and also discussion of the station ahead map signage on pylons and pillars. That was quite a topic of discussion. And another misspelling, Philippa Mazzell's last name was misspelled in the minutes for the bus rail subcommittee last month.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me about that. No, the wayfinding and L'Enfant Plaza signage was a big item, and it was led by Sam Sarabin.
Sarabin.
Yes, right. Thank you. Thank you, Sandy. Now,
okay.
Paul?
Good. Any other questions or additions? Thank you, Sandy.
Not at this time, Chair. Sure.
All right, very good. Let's go to Paul for Metro Access. Go ahead, Paul, you're up.
Hello, Paul Simmelfort, Metro Access Subcommittee Chair. Of three big issues that we had. Number one, we talked about the administrative fee for Abilities Ride, which will be $3 starting July 1st. We talked about how this information is going out to customers. And we also talked about that in relation to the Metro Access fare, it's a reduced fee. We had, thoughts, opinions about that. And we also very importantly talked about the manner in which people are going to be billed if they are selected through the lottery for these Abilities Ride trips to pay this fee. Would it be every 10 trips, things like that? So those ideas were laid out, and we look forward is to, informing customers and rolling this out, this critical information before July 1st, so everyone's prepared and understanding all the nuances, such as if you be billed, it'd be through your Easy Pay account, and that you will not ride until that amount gets paid for whatever trips you have on the Abilities Ride, whatever, how they're going to bill it out to customers. That's number one. Number two, we discussed more about Lyft update, and people gave their opinions on the pluses and benefits between that, Uber, and they have some unique features, and people express, expressing their preferences through the lottery of which type of Abilities Ride service. And just as Blake talked about, eventually there'll be options for customers to do that in the reservations process in the future as they're upgrading things. The third big thing we talked about was the interactive voice temp, person that is right now at the forefront of every reservation and where's my ride call to provide assistance. And many customers' displeasure of using them and preferring a human being, and the fact that it makes it harder for them to reach them. But it's, you know, Tim is another digital tool option to get, you know, rider information or even driver reservations for those customers who want to use it. And we will keep on discussing it and giving our feedback and opinions for this. For next month, obviously, we got in light of tonight, hopefully in the board report, there'll be something made about the update for Metro Access eligibility for people with permanent disabilities. And we look forward to a discussion about that. And probably if we talk to Maggie, Dr. Butler, continued discussion about Tim and its uses and how to make Tim, I guess, more equal to what they offer, what Tim can offer for those who want to choose it. As a possible viable option for those who are able to work with them as an option. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Very good. Questions for Paul?
There's no hand raised.
Very excellent report, Paul. And I will have to admit grudgingly, since I beat Tim up last time, the suggestions I made, particularly the ones with respect to Tim letting me know that I was at least eligible for Uber, are now part of the programming there. And so last three or four times that I've used it, it's worked well. And I grudgingly say that because I like the human contact, but it's nice that the suggestions that we have made and others have made being implemented, and I think that's great. So kudos for that.
So now we have tools to book trips between for those who like web booking, Tim for those few who may, you know, prefer to use that, and they still have access to live human, even though the idea, I guess, is to, you know, bring efficiency into reservations in the call center and to get as many people to use those tools so that live humans are able, people who need them and can access them faster.
Yep, very good. Also, I will also say that I'm seeing some of the issues that we had on the geo positioning, I think we're calling it, on the with Uber and Lyft being addressed in a very timely fashion. So another big thank you there. Mr. Blake and anybody else who's working on that, it's one or two or three, maybe people. So it's not the majority, of course, but it certainly is important to those people. Go ahead, Paul, and then go to Philippa.
All right, and I was going to say to Mr. Blake, you're a wonderful human, especially at night, have been responsive to texting. Average time is about 15, anywhere from 15, 20, maybe 30 minutes, but they do apologize back to me and text and do respond eventually. During the daytime, there could be some improvement, but particularly at night, the middle of the night, it seems like where I can reach the humans for more technical things that the digital assistant is not able to do and to get done fairly rapidly where I haven't called in weeks, maybe once. But most of it can be done that requires a human, you know, through text when they eventually respond. So we can work on that to make that even more wonderfully efficient. That's great. But they've been responsive, at least. It's getting better.
Thanks, Paul.
I'm sure Mr. Blake is there.
Thank you, Paul. Let me jump to Philippa.
Okay, Paul, your visual is making me dizzy. It looks like you're on the floor, then it looks like you're on your head. But anyway, I was just going to say, I had discussed the issue before that when I tried to use Tim, if I do a number street or letter street like 12 or, I mean, like H or R or something, they may get the H and the 8 mixed up. If I did R street, they're trying to send me to streets that are not R street Northwest or Northeast, but Aurora Street in Virginia. So I didn't know if that was being addressed. And the other thing is that the Lyft, yes, the geo positioning is a little better. Even when Lyft goes to the
Typically, the wrong address that they use as a mistake right now is much easier to guide them. All they have to do is go to the corner and take a right turn, and they're at me. And if they use whatever little, I wanted to ask what that is, they can use where they can see me on their screen, and sometimes they find me with that. So anyway,
Okay,
just
got
wanted to
it.
know what that is and
Yeah.
how to make sure they use it. Memory.
Yes, that's a tool that Lyft has introduced, and I told their competitor they should consider it as well, where they're finding you. They're using your phone's location service, even if you're not on their app. Now, how they're doing it, maybe next time Ms. Chung comes on, she could talk more about it. But yeah, they're doing something we had asked Uber to do a while ago. We're all on cell phones. Everybody tracks us and everything we're doing and sells us. I mean, you could walk down the street. Next thing you know, you're getting an ad from the subway place you just happen to walk by, not even going there. So why can't we use it for these type of services? And apparently Lyft is doing it, but the competitor hasn't yet, but we've been encouraging them to.
Lean on him, Mr. Blake. Yeah.
We can encourage the competitor to load all the trips like Lyft does into one place, like for those like me that use the app. It is so beautiful, all one string text instead of multiple, instead of digging through it. That would be so wonderful if that can happen at some point with Uber.
All right. Any other hands?
No, not at this time.
Okay, good. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I can give you 15 minutes back. I think we didn't have any other people that wanted to speak, the public. I didn't know if we had any hands that might have been raised by the public. If not, I can give you guys 15 minutes back because we had a good agenda, but we covered it very efficiently and effectively.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Well, thank you guys. Do I hear a motion?
Okay.
Move.
Thank
Second.
Motions and seconds. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Of course. Very good. We'll see you next week for Bus Rail. Thank you.
Thank
Thank you.
you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
18-0, great to see you.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Steve. Great to be.
Yeah, you look great.
Well, I'm feeling better and better. Thank you.
No, that's good. That's good.
You next week.
Okay, good. Look forward to it.